Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. San Francisco's affordable housing and gentrification crisis is now receiving international attention. Median rent has increased to over $3,000 a month. I have seen small studios going for $3,000 a month. The number of evictions under the Ellis Act, a state law allowing landlords to get out of the rental business, have increased by more than 145% from last year. That's according to a report by the city's budget and legislative analysis. From 2000 to 2010, San Francisco's black population dropped by 19%. Nonprofits providing crucial services to the city's most vulnerable populations are struggling to survive as rents double and triple. Bay Area artists are responding by focusing on resistance and healing. In a new exhibit by SOMArts and the Bayview Opera House, more than 40 artists and groups are using their creative practices to, quote, express the anger, pain, and sadness of the pillage taking place in our communities, end quote. Those are the words of today's guest, Melora Green. Melora is curator for inquiry and impact at SOMArts, an independent nonprofit that operates the South of Market Cultural Center. Place Displaced is her first exhibition at SOMArts, and Melora joins us in studio. Hi, Melora. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
It's great. It's great to have you. We're also joined by Karen Seneferu, a mixed media artist born and raised in Oakland. Karen also teaches race, gender, and class at Berkeley City College and Cal State East Bay. And Karen also joins us in studio. Hi, Karen. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. The Place Displaced exhibit runs through December 13th at SOMArts, 934 Brannan Street. There will be a free social hour tomorrow at 5:30, and you can find more information on how to RSVP at yourcallradio.org. So when we put together all the statistics, it's kind of overwhelming. There's just so much happening on a regular basis. I was just watching a video this morning of older people fighting to stay in their rent-controlled apartments on Van Ness. So how do you, as an artist, see your role in all of this, Melora?
I think the first thing that an artist should do, or anyone, is begin to share. I think if we share our experiences and we authentically create, in my case, my art is the curation, you know, taking multiple pieces of work and telling a story with that work. And so, you know, I try to hold space for artists to be as vulnerable, be as angry, be as sad, and own those feelings, and then find healthy ways to release them, which is creating. And so if I can hold space for the artist to create that work, the people who visit the space or are able to see the images of the art are able to, in some ways, be transformed and know that, one, they're not alone in their experiences, two, that there are other ways to really get your voice out there, and then, three, representation. So with this exhibition alone, we have, you know, the African-American voice, we have the Asian voice. And so we try to represent as many people as possible. At least that's what I tried to do in this exhibition. And so it just goes back to being authentic and open and sharing. And that's the first step, instead of like closing up and not saying, hey, this is happening to me. Then the other person can say, this is happening to me too. And when more people come together, then that's when we know our rights, because we're researching, we're telling other people, we're sharing experiences, and we can learn from history too, hopefully, you would think, but I don't know.
What about you, Karen? You're a mixed media artist, but you also teach, so you come at this from different backgrounds. How, as an artist, how do you see your role in all of this?
Well, as an artist, I see my role as a teacher, and as a teacher, I see my role as an artist. Those aren't separate entities. Those are intersectionalities of how to be in the world. And so for me, the personal is political. It's first looking at my own personal reality and how I can engage that with the material that I use to express the concerns of the community from various positions. So I think one of the most important quotes in the exhibition Placed Displaced, I believe it comes from Tony K. Bambara.
Yes, yes.
And I think I might be paraphrasing this differently.
I can say it with you. The role of the artist is to ensure, or to make sure, that the revolution is irresistible. I made sure that that quote is placed in the exhibition because I want us to own that we have a voice. you can tell anything and you will know anything that happened in a period of time because there was an artist there who painted it on the caves, who had it on the walls, and now on canvas, paper, whatever. We are the record keepers. We are the storytellers of our time.
And so with that, I would say that the role of the artist is to be revolutionary.
Yes.
In her pursuit to shift and change the mindset of the people that are around them.
And that's what makes San Francisco so attractive to so many people who are moving here.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. But with the moving, what has happened? Now you're displacing. Now you're painting over cultural legacies and rich histories. And for what? I mean, there's one thing to move somewhere and insert yourself to be a part, but the colonization aspect, it's just not... It's sickening to me, and it's gross. And I have not rubbed an elbow with one person who's not been impacted by this. And I just... My hope is that someone who has the opportunity to make the right decisions will begin to do that, because this is your legacy.
We've done so many shows over the years about struggling artists and how difficult it is to make ends meet, even when the economy is booming for, well, I don't know about everybody, but when it's not like this, right? So what are you hearing from artists right now at a time when the art galleries in Union Square are also struggling to survive? Now, that's new. I mean, we've done this show many times on artists, and it's the art galleries in the Mission, for example. But the art galleries in Union Square are also on the verge of shutting down. And that's new, right?
That's very new. I mean, what I've experienced is hearing multiple stories about another migration. San Leandro, Antioch. Now artists are fleeing. First there was an exodus from San Francisco, you know, into Oakland. Now, you know, so for the last however many years, Oakland has been this paradise for artists to feel, okay, now we have a place where we can create and create without, you know, any types of restrictions. We can be our authentic selves and be around people who think like we do. And now this new boom is coming in, and people who have been able to create the type of life that they want and be an artist who can support themselves, now they can't even afford to live in the neighborhoods where everyone was afraid to live, and so on. And so now those artists are having to move. And it's just really sad.
I think it's problematic to on a certain level to think about how these galleries in areas that have historically been excluded have excluded certain groups of artists to express what their struggles and challenges have been in the world are now in a similar situation as the individuals that they initially denied access and opportunities. So on the one hand, it's important to recognize that this economic shift is spreading itself across various social classes and environments and ethnic backgrounds. But I think it's also important to bring the narrative back to the groups that are struggling the most and are attempting to resist that struggle the most, and to look at the historical legacy of that struggle, which is why I think it's for me as an artist, what made it most clear to understand how my artwork for this particular exhibition is essential was understanding how public housing developed, how the government assisted in segregation, how the government assisted in creating suburban communities, how the government assisted in assuring that one group of people had access and opportunity and economic legacy while denying the opportunity for others to do the same thing. And then seeing to what extent that historical legacy is impacting the communities that are now also in that process of transition that creates spaces for people to come in once again and shift particularly black people, but brown people out, and create a space for others to establish their own reality there. So all of those kinds of concepts and ideas have to be brought into the history of the art and is reflected in this exhibition.
The piece that you did, Karen, in the exhibition is called When There's Blood in the Streets by Especially If It's Your Own. Can you explain?
Yeah.
I was kind of confused by that.
I think the title is, I think the title is actually When There's Blood in the Streets by Especially If It's Your Own.
Okay.
So the title actually comes from I'm turning a statement on its head. It comes from Rothschild. And Rothschild, one of the Rothschilds. And this statement is actually When There's Blood on the Streets by. And the idea was that when there's violence in a community, when there's people killing each other on the streets, that is the best time to buy real property. Mm. That's where that statement comes from. So what I'm doing is looking at taking that statement a step further, and I'm saying when there's blood on the streets, buy, especially if it's your own, which means on a certain level, the political system in this country is constructed in such a way that individuals will end up practicing hegemony without knowing it, and what impact that has on them. And so in our desire to want to be a part of the American dream, and in our desire to want to be homeowners, and in our desire to want to have a place of our own, to what extent are we actually killing ourselves to do that? And so that's what I'm looking at with that particular statement.
When did Rothschild say that?
That's a good question. I wish I knew.
I'm so glad you explained this, because I thought, at first I thought it was When There's Blood in the Streets, Especially If It's Your Own, but that's a really powerful twist on his words.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to look that up, because I bet there's some really interesting context. So your exhibition is a large wooden installation, kind of like the size of a headboard for a bed. It's almost like you're looking down on a neighborhood.
It's actually the entire home.
Yeah.
Entire home.
It's the frame of the house. Mm-hmm. So, and what I have are, as an artist, as you said earlier, with the economy as it is, I can't afford to actually buy certain pieces. So fortunately, there's a company in Berkeley, the name escapes me, but they have just these pieces of wood that they throw away, they give away. And so I go there and I pick up the pieces. And in this case, I had all this wood. Pick up the pieces, right? So I used those pieces as a way of attempting to cover spaces, create a wall for the frame. And of course, I didn't have enough. And so there's gaps and spaces. There's areas where light can shine in, or you can look out onto the entire exhibition. And I wanted to create these fragments of vision as a way of explaining what our struggles are in terms of trying to understand all the different components to what this new identity that's emerging for us because of the economic conditions, because of the housing struggles, because of the gentrification, because of the shift in ethnic groups coming in and out, and how it's reconstructing our identity. And so being able to walk into the space, there's an installation that also is an assemblage, just bits and pieces of wood, and then there's blood, or there's paint painted, red paint on these pieces that give the metaphoric representation of blood. Mm. And so really just looking at how, on the one hand, you can take a structural thing and make it appear beautiful, but if you start to look closer at the history of it, what you will see is the loss of identity, the loss of a community, the loss of the value of those individuals.
That is Karen Seneferu. She is a mixed media artist born and raised in Oakland, and she teaches gender, race, and class at Berkeley City College and Cal State East Bay. You can see her piece, When There's Blood in the Streets, by Especially If It's Your Own. And it's at the Place Displaced Art Exhibit, running through December 13th at SOME Arts, 934 Brannan Street. There will be a free social hour tomorrow, starting at 5:30. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. Melora Green is curator curator for Inquiry and Impact at SOMArts, and Place Displaced is her first exhibition there. And we'd love to hear from you. If you're an artist creating work in response to displacement, first off, how are you making sense of what we're really dealing with? And then how do you decide what to infuse in your art? What does your art look like? What values does it reflect? What inspires you at a time like this? How are you responding to what's changing in San Francisco? And from street graffiti to galleries, what have you witnessed in terms of artists really taking on these issues? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Also, if there is a gallery or, say, your favorite dance performance, dance company that's struggling right now and you'd like to talk about it, give us a call, because a lot of these groups need us to know what they're facing. There was a good article in The Examiner recently, Nonprofits Trying to Hold On Amid Soaring Rents. And one of my favorite dance companies, Dance Mission Theater, according to this piece, had its rent increased by $2,200 from $7,800 in July. And they put on amazing political art with really strong female dancers. So if you'd like to weigh in, if you're an artist, if you know of a group that's struggling, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Melora, the Place Displaced exhibit features more than 40 artists, and they're dealing with such a wide range of things. What's been lost, expressions of hurt and anger, how to reach out to people, break down complacency, and also healing. What was the process involved in bringing these artists together and curating this?
Well, I have to give the credit to the curator before me, Justin Hoover. This actually was his original idea, along with the Bayview Opera House and the 3.9 Art Collective and a host of others. And so, you know, this is my first exhibition at SOMArts. I started in September, right in the thick of it, and I found out we had to take on this story, and that's when I added the artists that I knew could bring their perspective as well. And what I wanted to make sure was that there was a healing element in there. In my mind, the design of the exhibition is in a circle. So there's an outer circle, then there's an inner circle. The outer circle explores the anger, the pillage. And the closer you get into the center, you get into the movement. So there's the pillage, the fight, and the movement. And to me, the movement includes healing elements, which is why the house is at the center or at the core of the exhibition, because I wanted us to find ways to take care of ourselves. I have not run into one person who's been dealing with this who hasn't been sick, knows someone who's sick. And I'm talking about chronic illness. And so, you know, when you are someone who is a healer through your art, or you're just cosmically open, you are very vulnerable to all of the elements and matters around you. And I just did not want to create this exhibition without providing a platform for people to come together and leave something, some type of prayer, some type of meditation. So you'll have in the middle of the house that Karen created, which was designed, the infrastructure was designed by Nick Gomez. And I want to say a special thank you to Renee and Rio Yanez, along with Nick Gomez, for allowing us to take the house from the Day of the Dead exhibition and bring it into this conversation. And so you'll see a table in the center of the house that has different healing elements, even a spray of sage. And we invite people to create these pouches where they can take any of the elements that they want, create a meditation, seal it, and leave it in the home, or take it with them. And I think a lot of people are taking them with them, and that's great too. But just how simple we can contribute to a vibration of healing elements and looking at ways to, or new ways to be warriors in this movement. And so I think that one of the one of my proudest moments was having a conversation in Pete's Coffee the other day with someone. They said, it's a lot of art and it's a lot to take in. I said, well, you know what? Take away all of the art and just consider that there are white walls, but that every artist that would have exhibited their work was standing in the room. You would still feel that energy. You would still have those conversations. And so I think the most important thing for us to do is stand back and encounter. Stand back and encounter. Stand back and engage. And the more you stand with the work, regardless of what's around you, the most important thing is that everyone can be heard. Everyone can be in one space and make mistakes. Because we've all made them. That's how we're here. And it's not just a white man with a beard who just moved here. It's not just the Google bus. It's that maybe we didn't take ownership in our own neighborhoods. We saw the dilapidated buildings. Mm. Did anyone come together and buy it? We've seen what's happened in our communities, and this is not the first time this has happened in San Francisco. I moved here in 2000, and that was the first crisis at its turn. So now here it is, over 10 years later. And so I think the most important thing that we can start to do is say, okay, if this is the kind of region that we live in, what can we do to ensure that things like this don't happen again? Not that people shouldn't come in and create their own legacies and cultures, but that there's a responsibility that we have to a city, to a region, to a people, to a community, to a neighborhood, to ensure that we're not wiping away what people have really fought to make happen.
What about the word healing? Because that is such a crucial part of the exhibit. Karen, how do you see that? What does healing mean to you in this context?
Well, I think that the an exhibition space is just another place in which the role of an artist and the role of a teacher is to bring the community in and have them recognize the value that they have to what's being created in that space. And so healing is just another name. Bell Hooks talks about this idea of the teacher being the healer, where the artist is also the healer. Mm-hmm. Healer. So these, the teacher, the artist, the healer, they're all one. They're one and the same for me. And so wherever I am in space, that's something I'm attempting to transform. There's a quote that I present to my students at the beginning of every semester, and then I say it at some point throughout the semester, which is space dictates healing. Let me rephrase that. Wow, that's interesting. That came out differently than I normally say it. I said space. Oh, wow, that's interesting. I'm going to have to change that. But the quote is, space dictates meaning. What enters that space is dictated to by the meaning of the space, or the individual can change the meaning of the space. And so for me, as a healer, my purpose is to go in and transform, to look at ways in which my cosmology, the belief systems I come from, that is embedded in the idea that you're to go in and to create spaces where individuals can feel like they belong and that they can contribute to the meaning and the value of what's created there, is an important process for me that's not only in an exhibition space, but in a classroom space or just walking down the street. The very nature of who I am is something that I'm very clear about in terms of challenging people's presence.
And hold that thought. Today we are talking about how artists are dealing with the affordability crisis in San Francisco and the Bay Area. We'll be back after this.
Lots of ways to join in today's conversation on your call on the phone, 866-798-8255, toll-free, 866-798-TALK. Or you can send your question via email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock, the BBC's World Have Your Say. And then at noon today, it's John Perry and Ken Taylor and Philosophy Talk. This week, The Lure of Immortality. Join us at noon for Philosophy Talk here on KALW.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with food justice activist Bryant Terry. He's out with a new book called Afro-Vegan. He wants to use the holiday season to talk about building a healthy, ethical, and sustainable food system for everyone. Many Americans overeat during the holidays, while one in five households struggle with hunger. So how can we ensure that nourishing foods are a universal right, not a privilege? That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line. feedback@yourcallradio.org. And if you'd like to join us today, we're talking about how artists are tackling inequality, the affordable housing and gentrification crisis that so many of us are dealing with right now. And it's not just San Francisco. I was just looking up some numbers. The average asking rent in the nine-county Bay Area hit about $2,200 a month in the second quarter. So rents are going up about 6% across the Bay Area. And then we forget that in the South Bay, I think it's Mountain View and a couple other cities, do not have rent control. So if you live in a place where there's a lot of changes happening, we'd love to hear from you. What are you seeing? How are artists responding? If you're an artist, we'd love to hear from you. If you work for a nonprofit that's struggling to stay open, share your story. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Karen Seneferu. She's a mixed media artist born and raised in Oakland. She teaches gender, race, and class at Berkeley City College and Cal State East Bay. And you can see her exhibit at the Place Displaced, her installation at the Place Displaced art exhibit running through December 13th at SOMARTS, 934 Brannan. Melora Green is curator for inquiry and impact at SOMARTS, and Place Displaced is her first exhibition at SOMARTS. Melora, I wanted to ask you the same question about healing. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you in this context?
In this context, you know, healing means listening to your body. Healing means finding ways to release the energy, especially the negative energy. And that's not me saying don't honor it and don't acknowledge it, because, you know, far too often, especially for women of color, we try to take care of everything and everybody. And so even when we feel something, I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. But I wanted to create space for people to say, I'm not okay. I'm not fine. And I wanted people to feel comfortable hugging each other and saying, let's share. And to me, that's healing, to be able to sincerely be authentic about where we are right now, but then taking the necessary steps to say, all right, this is what we need to do. And even if we fail at that, we can try something else, but we have to try something new.
Let's hear from Mimi in Monterey, who wants to talk about the displacement of people and businesses. Hi, Mimi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, my comment is in regards to this new term or phrase I've been hearing called re-tenancy, which is, I guess, a part of re-gentrification, where you have, like, commercial realtors coming into, you know, towns. Like, I know Highland Park down in Los Angeles is experiencing this at, like, a very high rate, where you have commercial realtors coming in and they're finding out who the business owner is. And then they go to the business owner and they say, hey, you know, you have these current tenants that are paying low rent. And, you know, if you look at the building across the street that I just re-tenanted, you know, they're paying $2.50 to $3 per square foot. And, you know, right now you have people paying $1 per square foot. So if you allow me to help you, I can get your rents up. And then the other thing is in regards to affordable housing. You know, we have a very low amount of affordable housing. And one of the things that's happening is when regentrification comes in, it's this thing that, you know, we're going to take a city that is like a blight, or an area of the city that's like a blight on the city, and we're going to transform it and make it look new, which, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But it seems like with that transformation, there's a transformation in the people. So then you have the people that have been there for generations being kicked out because, you know, the look of their home or whatever doesn't fit the new look of the community. And the thing is that it would be nice to have regentrification that included the current community, but that never seems to happen. And I'm not understanding why there aren't more people fighting against that.
Laura? Yeah, I mean, I completely hear and understand what you're saying. And I think as it relates to artists, one of the things that we can do is educate people. We can definitely use our art to educate people. A prime example, number one example I always go to, and I should probably dig for more, but Emory Douglas did it best. He's one of the key examples we have to how you can use an image and imagery to define and help people to make their own decision about what is happening to a people in a particular time. So for me, if I were to stand up and try to educate people about this, good old-fashioned poster, start giving some information about it, add statistics, whatever you need, and let people know that this is what's going on, because I think that's a terminology that a lot of people haven't heard yet, that you just brought up. So, I don't know, that's just my personal feedback.
I think it's problematic, too, to make the argument that people aren't fighting against this just because it's not in the news or because you're not hearing other voices that are most impacted by gentrification. Historically, African Americans in this country have always fought against forms of discrimination and racism. And so it's the question becomes, why don't you know about it? And so what can you do to go in search of that information? I think would be a better way of directing the focus so that we can see that there's that we all need to be participating in this shift and change to fight against this system that is actually attempting to create a division and establish just two economic structures here, and that's rich and poor.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Mimi. We've got a couple emails. One email says, "Who do you see as having the most expertise to know how the Bay Area's housing imbalance can practically and responsibly be fixed, so we don't get thousands of families applying for 20 affordable units anymore?" I believe this just happened south of Market. There was a building that had 20 affordable units, and there were so many applicants.
It seems to be the Bay Way. I mean, I don't really have an answer for that, but it just seems to be the Bay Way. For as long as I've been here, I've experienced, you know, everyone running over to one opportunity and then running over to another opportunity. And I think that we just need to start creating our own. That's just the bottom line. We have to start creating our own and supporting the structures that are there. Even if, you know, some of the strategies are outdated, I mean, we have to unite together and say, okay, it's time to, you know, revamp this. But I don't know, it's just, that's the Bay Way. It may be rude, but I don't get it.
Well, it's also interesting when you think about all of the new buildings that are going up, and it's so interesting to look at it because they all look very similar. They're just very boxy. And it's easy to forget what was there before. I mean, even when a new business pops up, I sometimes say, what? I don't remember what was there before. How do you address this as an artist?
How do we just address change as an artist?
Well, just,
are the visual change as an artist?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
because this
the
is
landscape?
Sort of the landscape, because the things are moving so quickly. I mean, we're getting, if you drive over the Bay Bridge, I mean, you're seeing about four brand new high rises downtown. Yeah. And just to kind of think, what came before that? Because you talk about the importance of history.
It's a challenge. There's so much that's happening simultaneously. And, you know, we discussed this off air, and the challenge of trying to bring all of these ideas together. So we're talking about the housing problems. We're talking about the socioeconomic problems that exist in a community where housing is creating possibilities for some and lack of opportunities for others. We're talking about the violence that develops in communities like that, where it makes it possible for homes to sell cheaper because elders can no longer stay in it. We're talking about lack of jobs. We're talking about the miseducation of various individuals in those communities. So if I'm going to be focusing on, if I have an understanding that all of these elements are a part of the struggle that's a part of my existence, but also a part of my community's existence, when I start to think about, okay, what building was there first, that's really not the first thing that's on my agenda for addressing what's important to me as an artist is first and foremost, how can I navigate this world? You know, as I said earlier, you know, my personal existence when I move into the world is always being confronted because I'm claiming my physical self in a way that says that I have value, that I'm resisting a particular form of assimilation, and that I have a consciousness about who I am and the values and contributions that my people have contributed to this country. And so my physical presence in the world is constantly being challenged. I mean, physically challenged. So I recognize that that movement that I'm making, attempting to, attempting to claim myself in public space is also about claiming myself in public space in terms of housing or in terms of establishing a family in the environments that I want to grow up in or in terms of the way in which I want to communicate truth in a classroom, that all of those are interrelated, interconnected, and then become a part of my artwork on some level or another.
Well, no, for myself, and I'll say we for the next probably 1 minute that I speak, I have a twin sister, Melanie Green, who I do everything with. And so a lot of the credit for this exhibition goes to her as well. But I want to just speak about the Fillmore community. So I've lived here for 14 years, and the Fillmore Western Addition has primarily been my home and at my absolute love. And so I am welcomed by people like Karen Johnson at Marcus Bookstore, which you don't see anymore. And then, you know, moving here in 2000, a lot of the stories about the rich history of the Fillmore and its contributions, not only to the Bay Area, but to the world. Africana Studies with Marcus Bookstore, the Black Panther Party's breakfast program, Bop City, Harlem of the West. And I mention that because through living in the Fillmore Western Addition, you begin to lament business by business, barbershop by barbershop. Then you lose Marcus Bookstore. And, you know, it created this anger that I did not understand. And so that led my sister and I to start a project called Ubuntu Can Art Save a Community? And we started that project and posed that question because we thought, what would it take for people to remember where they are? Now, I may not have the personal capital to buy up all the buildings and make things quote-unquote right, but what if we were to take some entity, some space, and create a Fillmore Museum or some type of space where people can remember those legends who walk these streets? So would it be a mural? Would it be, you know, various statues? Would it be taking over a building and creating this museum essence to preserve culture? Can art save a community? And some people have a problem with the word save, so let's say preserve. But that is what we're working on for the next 3 to 5 years, and that's why you'll see Ubuntu as a part of the Place This Place exhibition, because we are taking this work on to serve as record keepers. I refuse, as long as I have breath in my lungs, to not talk about the community warriors and the people who paved the way for me to even be where I am. And so that project will focus on community warriors. It will focus on the migration of artists and how that affects gentrification or how that changes a region. So stay tuned.
You mentioned Marcus Books, just for people who aren't familiar with it. It's the nation's oldest Black-owned, Black-themed bookstore in the Fillmore District. It's been there since 1981 in a purple Victorian, and they were just evicted May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's there now? I haven't been by there lately.
What is there is not what was. So
yeah. Do you know if they're going to continue?
They will. There is an Oakland location.
Okay.
And I know they will continue. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people dedicated to Marcus Bookstore having a space to be represented, to continue to tell our stories so that our publications can still exist, our African-American students can continue to learn about us, and that hopefully they will write more about us and serve as record keepers. So Marcus Bookstore is still around. I don't have details that I can share with integrity about what is happening, because I just don't know. But I know that they are still around, and we are still looking at opportunities for them in the Fillmore.
Melora Green is curator for inquiry and impact at SOMARTS, an independent nonprofit that operates the South of Market Cultural Center. And the Place Displaced Art exhibit is her first exhibition there. It runs through December 13th, 934 Brannan Street. There will be a free social hour tomorrow starting at 5:30. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. 40 artists are taking part in this exhibit, responding to the affordability crisis, inequality, gentrification, by focusing on resistance and healing. And Karen Sineferu's work is at the exhibit. Her piece is When There's Blood in the Streets By, especially if it's your own. Karen is a mixed media artist born and raised in Oakland, and she teaches at Berkeley City College in Cal State East Bay. And if you'd like to join us, if you'd like to talk about how you'd like an artist to respond to what we're dealing with, what you see on the streets, if it's graffiti or if it's in a gallery, if you're an artist, how are you responding to these issues? And if you'd like to talk about the changes that you're seeing in your area, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We have an email from Pauline who says, I just heard the question, what can we do to prevent a housing crisis from happening again? She writes, we need political leadership that listens to all the people, not just the well-off who are doing so well at present. Local headlines tell us our mayor will run unopposed in the next election. We have to do something to change this. Joelle in San Francisco writes, I'm an independent artist, filmmaker, and writer who works from home in San Francisco. When the destruction of the 1912 cottage next door started rattling my house and my nerves, I found no other solace but to respond as an artist. On my worst days, I've turned toward creativity to deal with frustrations. I've written a scathing essay, photographed the amazing demolition project, and am now working on a novel called The Project Managers, the fictionalized story of two wealthy young men who are turning a cottage into a McMansion. She says it's been fun and cathartic. Well, thank you for writing in, Joelle. I mean, there is a lot of anger, and I'm really glad that you said don't just throw that away, because oftentimes you don't hear that.
Yeah, but we don't want to feel bad.
So what are you hearing from both the other artists how they're dealing with this, and then people coming through the exhibit?
I have really experienced artists just sharing gratitude for being able to feel the way they feel. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the importance of sharing, because I just think about artists like Mark Harris, who just said, I can't thank you enough, because I thought I was the only one who was angry. And I thought I was the only one who felt this way. And this built a platform for me to be surrounded by people who feel the way I do. And even those who don't, I can still be okay with how I feel. And, you know, he's a member of the 3.9 Arts Collective that I'm a member of, and that's that 3.9 is a representation of the population of African Americans in San Francisco, and artists in particular. And so, you know, I appreciate when artists don't hold back. And I appreciate that some artists who are not as angry say, I just want to focus on healing, or I just want to focus, because sometimes that sounds flowery, but I keep repeating it because it's one of the strongest things that you can do. Self-care is one of the most heroic things you can do, instead of soldiering on and acting like there's nothing going on. And that's something that I used to be really good at, which is why I'm making a stand to create space for people to release what it is that they have on their minds and hearts.
I think it's through healing that you can actually come up with new ideas. Mm-hmm. I think the anger is just one stage of recognizing that something is happening to you, and healing is the recognition that you have the ability to change what's happening to
yes.
you.
Well, thank you for the emails, Joelle and Pauline. And we've got a couple calls on the line, so let's go to Linda in San Francisco. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hi, Rose. And this is Linda Parker Pennington. So shout out to Melora and Karen. I know both of them from my work.
How you doing?
Hi, and I'm loving the program, so thank you. I wanted to weigh in on a couple of things. I grew up in New York City, but I've been out here for 30 years. But I grew up with, it's funny, we have Keith Haring's exhibit at the DeYoung now, and he's a good example of the kind of art, how it influences society and the community. And I used to go to high school and see his artwork as it was coming up in the New York subways. And as I have observed this community now, and I wanted to say specifically because I was on the board of the Jazz Heritage Center, which has housed one of the main pieces was the Lush Life Gallery there on the Fillmore, which is no more. You know, you don't want to be a startup nonprofit arts organization in the last 7 years, which it was. And then I've also watched, you know, our clubs leave, Rosala's, Yoshi's is no more, it's the Edition, and then Marcus Bookstore closed. But it will have a new life, and it's actually going to be moving into the space that was occupied by the Lush Life Gallery. So that arrangement has been made. It'll be, I think, announced formally during the Kwanzaa exhibits, celebrations at the end of this month. And I just wanted to let you know that because I'm personally very excited about it.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you so much. We're actually going to do a book show next week, so we'll be sure to mention that. Thank you for the update, Linda. I'll also let our news team know. Let's go next to Chrissy Kiefer, who is the founder of Dance Mission. Hi, Chrissy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Chrissy, I'm so glad you called in because you've been on the show many times, and I know back in the late 90s you were dealing with rent increases. You've dealt with so many, and you were in this latest Examiner piece, Nonprofits Trying to Hold On Amid Soaring Rents. I was a little confused the way this was written. It says your rent increased by $2,200 from $7,800 in July.
Yes. I basically have a $25,000 a year rent increase.
Wow.
With a two-month warning that that was going to happen, and I only got a year lease. And so that doesn't mean that I'm actually going to be asked to leave when the lease is up in July, but I will have to perhaps, it's just all really up in the air right now. I actually don't know what's going to happen.
And so just to let people know, Chrissy, there's a Dance Brigade, which is an amazing group of women dancers. And what stands out for me is under George W. Bush, they put on so many amazing political dance performances. They've got the Girl Brigade drumming. I mean, there's just so much that goes on at Dance Mission. The ticket prices are really pretty low and affordable. $25,000 a year is a massive increase.
Yes, it is a massive increase. And we're starting a fundraising campaign right now, which people can donate on our website. And we're just trying to weather the storm. It creates a certain kind of PTSD. I think, one of the things that happens to all of us who are being displaced, from artists, the immigrants, the working classes, it's an enormous amount of stress to try to relocate at this point. So I'm just trying to look at all my options and try to hold, a steady course, and at the same time, continue to carry on running Dance Mission and making it available to all, the almost 1,500 people that come through the doors every week.
Wow. Chrissy, what are you hearing from other artists? I mean, what's different to you between what we're dealing with now and what happened in the late 90s?
Well, I think right now the main thing that's happening is that it's international capital that's moving into San Francisco, and it's much bigger and it's much more far-reaching than what happened to San Francisco through the .com. I think this kind of massive gentrification is taking place in every urban area around the world as the ruling class and the upper class attempt to reclaim all the cities that they actually abandoned. They abandoned them and moved everybody out to the suburbs, and now the rich, well-heeled want the urban mass transportation close to their work kind of situation. And so that's what's happening. It's happening in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's happening in Detroit. It's happening in London. It's happening everywhere. It's everywhere. They're, reclaiming the cities as their stomping ground.
Well, Chrissy, thanks for calling in. And where can we find information about the fundraiser?
Yeah, well, there's information on the Dance Mission website at dancemission.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Chrissy Kiefer runs Dance Mission Theater in the Mission, and you can find the article she's in at yourcallradio.org. We've got time for one more caller. Let's go to Arturo in San Francisco. Hi, Arturo.
Hi. I'd like to say I agree with much of what Chrissy Kiefer said. I'd like to mention two items. There's an exhibit on at 337 Shotwell Street called the Massive Urban Change. 337 Shotwell near 17th, and you can get information at massiveurbanchange.com, and they deal with some of these issues. It's not a huge thing, and they're open mainly in the afternoon. So, people interested might want to check that out. Also, San Francisco Public Press has devoted an entire issue, issue number 15, to the whole issue of housing in San Francisco. It's comprehensive, and anybody who feels a little bit at out of their depth might check out that issue. You can get it in bookstores, or you can go to San Francisco, sfpublicpress.org, and see it. It costs a dollar, a real bargain. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Arturo. We'll put links at yourcallradio.org. We've got about a minute left. Final thoughts, Melora, do you want to just briefly talk about some of the other exhibits people will see at the place Displaced?
The other installations.
Yes.
It's totally fine. Yes. I love an installation by Wanda Sabir where she allows people to sit and write their displacement story or immigration story, whatever is fitting. And she has yarn and scissors, and you're able to trace, you know, where you're from or where you've been displaced from. And it's been beautiful to see the evolution of that piece come alive. I also love the Annex Space, which is dedicated to the project I mentioned earlier, Can Art Save a Community, that provides a voice to organizations who are doing this work. And then also William Rhodes has a piece in conjunction with the Bayview Opera House for the Mandela Quilt Program, and that's involving youth as well.
And Karen, what stood out for you when you went through the exhibit?
Well, there's a number of pieces that are really important. And I hate to say which ones are when I'm struggling against which ones aren't. So one is Joanne Lutwig's piece with the table and the charms that helped to create a transformative space for the house.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Karen Seneferu is a mixed media artist. You can see her installation at Place Displaced, and it is Melora Green's first exhibition at SOMARTS. Find more information, yourcallradio.org. Thank you both for coming
in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. How can we use the holidays to redefine our relationship with food? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with eco-chef and food justice activist Bryant Terry about his new book, Afro-Vegan. Terry wants to use the holiday season to talk about building a healthy, ethical, and sustainable food system for all. Many Americans overeat during the holidays, while one in five households struggle with hunger. So how can we ensure that nourishing foods are a universal right, not a privilege? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Becca Hoekstra produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is the executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Work.